Meanwhile, as the frigid temperatures continue in Wisconsin this week, it's prime movie watching time. Luckily, now is a good time to see some of this year's top Oscar contenders in the theater, or you can catch up with the ones that are already out on DVD. And joining us for our monthly movie segment is Rob Thomas, editor of 77 Square, the arts and entertainment publication of the Capital Times. And we want to hear from you on this one, too. What were your favorite movies of 2013, and which ones do you think are Oscar-worthy, and why? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Rob Thomas, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So before we talk about the movies and really dig in there in terms of best movie, what does it take to be a contender for best picture these days?
Well, for me, I wrote a top 10 list. It'll be in 77 Square tomorrow. And as I looked at the list, I was thinking a lot of these movies are arguments for seeing movies in theaters. I mean, there's so much we can do on our phones, on our TVs, on our laptops. And movies really have to say, okay, you have to sit in a darkened theater and not talk to anybody for 2 hours, and we're going to make it worth your while. So that could be a movie like Gravity, where it's a completely immersive experience. That couldn't be a book. That couldn't be a TV show. It has to be experienced in the movie theater. Or it could be a movie that is more challenging that you really need to focus on, like 12 Years a Slave, which if, you know, maybe if it was on TV at home, you might find a way to turn it off and get yourself distracted because it's such intense subject matter.
Do you think that people in movies actually obey the turn off your cell phone thing? When I'm going, I don't see too many cell phones, whereas I think if I were at home, I think you'd be right and I would be flipping through my email while I was watching.
I mean, people complain all the time about behavior in theaters, but I'm honestly impressed how good we are in theaters. Given how much we use our phones outside the theater, people are generally pretty well behaved. And I think that is testament to the fact that movies still have that power over us. There's still something about the lights going down, being surrounded by people, having a big, you know, trough of popcorn in your lap and really losing yourself for a couple hours. I think people still value that.
Especially in winter. Do you think in winter in Wisconsin, movies are doubly appealing?
I think so. Yes, I definitely think a good heated theater. It seems movies are longer now, which I don't mind at all. Like a 3-hour movie in the middle of a 10-degree afternoon. That sounds perfect. Yeah.
Well, let's dig into some of the movies that are going to be on your list tomorrow. And you told us about some of them now. What do you pick for Best Picture?
Well, I think my best picture was Gravity because it was this is the one with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. They play sort of an near outer space thriller where they're astronauts who get stranded when their space shuttle gets destroyed. And it's just an amazing piece of work. It's cutting edge visual effects, but it's in service of story and emotion. And you really feel, especially if you watch it in the 3D version. And most times 3D is kind of just an extra $5 for no reason. But this was one that you just really need to experience in the theater. And, I thought this was a great year for movies, a great year for American movies, but that was one that was like, well, I don't think I've seen anything like that before.
That's interesting because I haven't seen that one yet and it looks pretty bare bones. Every clip I saw, you know, there's just Sandra Bullock and George Clooney it's George Clooney, isn't it?
It is, right.
Floating in space.
Yeah.
Every shot
right.
is that. And yet I heard from people that it feels like you're slowly suffocating while you watch it, which is part of why I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound that pleasant actually feel like that.
I think that works. I think you're right. It's very like there's no cutting back to Mission Control like, oh, I hope they're okay. You're stuck out there with them for 90 minutes. And it's a completely immersive and engrossing experience that you just can't really get anywhere else.
Well, there's another movie that reminds me of that one. I don't know if this is on your list for picks for Best Picture, but the Robert Redford movie where it's just him, hardly any dialogue, or I guess it would just be him talking to himself on a boat in
right.
the ocean.
All is lost. And that's also, it is also my top 10 list. And you're absolutely right. It's there's 10 lines of dialogue. One of them's a swear word, I think. And it's just him on this leaky boat trying to survive. And it's the exact same thing where you're with him every waterlogged step of the way and it's again a movie where like maybe if you're watching it on DVD it won't have that same kind of power because it's like well he's just on a boat but it really sucks you in when you see it in a theater and he has he's got that great Robert Redford face.
And just
sucks you right in. Yeah.
How is that movie different than some of those other movies just like that have been in the genre before? I'm thinking of the Tom Hanks one where he's
Castaway?
castaway.
Right.
He finds the basketball named Wilson.
Right.
Not much happens. It's just him. What distinguishes this one?
For me, I think, like you said, with Gravity, it's just stripping it down to its essence. It's not messing around with a lot of other, I mean, in All Is Lost, you know the boat's name, but you don't know Robert Redford's name in the movie. I mean, they cut it down to the essence. And it seemed like there were a lot of movies, especially in the fall, that were kind of like, you are there in these intense situations. Another one, which didn't make my top 10 list, but is a great movie, which had Tom Hanks, was Captain Phillips, where he plays the freighter captain who's captured by Somali pirates. And that's another movie where you are completely engrossed and stuck with him in this really terrifying situation. And that's one I think will also be an Oscar contender.
Do you think that's part of what Hollywood is doing, or I guess independent filmmakers too, to lure people back to the theater to see movies, is that they're making this almost this involuntary experiential thing where it's, you really feel like you've been suffocating in space or like you've been trapped on a boat because it's hyper realistic and there's no escape.
Well, it's like there's two different tracks in movies right now. One is like the summer blockbuster where you just have spectacle upon spectacle. Every week it seemed like the earth was blowing up this summer or being overrun by zombies or Superman was doing, you know, and then I feel like this is almost like a counter argument maybe in theater where it's like, okay, let's just cut it down to what's important, the emotion, the story, the images, and just keep the audience kind of contained in that. So it's kind of interesting, like this, these sort of two tracks that we're seeing right now in movies.
So we've got All Is Lost and Gravity movies sort of a particular style. What else is on your list?
Well, the number two movie I just saw on Sunday, and it opens in Madison and Milwaukee next week, is called Her. It's a new movie by Spike Jonze, who did Where the Wild Things Are and Being John Malkovich. So he's known for somewhat offbeat, sometimes very offbeat
quirky
movies. In this case, it's a love story between a man and his operating system on his computer. And it's like an everything movie. It's funny. It's kind of chilling. It's really smart and perceptive. It's really beautiful. And it's, I mean, above all, it's really very romantic. And walking in, I would never have thought like you could pull something like this off, but it's a really pretty amazing movie.
I'm glad that one is coming to Madison because I thought that I had missed it. I've
right.
been looking for it and it never came out and we're already past 2013.
Yeah.
But I guess it just broke late in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's a bunch coming late where you probably heard a lot about them. Another top one on my list is Inside Llewyn Davis, which is the new Coen Brothers movie about a folk singer, kind of like a third-tier folk singer in New York in the early 60s. That's supposed to also come next week to Madison. It's already playing in Milwaukee. But that's a movie like, people are like, did I miss it? But it's like, being in Madison, being sometimes we get them a little bit later than the other cities, which is fine because like we get so many already. It's like we miss them all if they all came at once.
Well, we've been talking about a bunch of movies, among them Gravity and All Is Lost, Her, the Spike Jonze film, which will be opening in Wisconsin. So let's take a listen to Her. This is one that we all have the opportunity to see coming up soon.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Sounds to me like Scarlett Johansson,
yeah.
And I couldn't place the voice of the love interest.
Joaquin Phoenix, yeah,
okay.
He's really good at it, too. Yeah.
All right, so those two are in there. And Scarlett Johansson, I'm guessing. This is just a voice role for her.
Exactly. You never see her in the movie.
How does she do?
Fantastic. Yeah, it's people are wondering if she could get the first voice-only Best Supporting Actress nomination. It's that good.
That would be interesting to see, huh?
Yeah.
And one that had been discussed widely, a lot of people were really affected by the movie 12 Years a Slave.
Absolutely.
What do you know about that one?
That's a great movie. I think it's number 4 on my list this year. And yeah, I know people who have walked out of it. It's the true story of a free African American man who was kidnapped and sold into slavery for 12 years in the South and made his way out. And it's an amazing movie. It's very realistic about what slavery was like, but also really beautiful and really well acted. And it's a really, really powerful and well done movie. And I mean, that's one, like I said, you know, some people might not stick with it if they're watching it on Netflix in 2 years, but it's one you definitely owe yourself to go see in a theater and kind of experience.
All right, well, let's listen to that one, 12 Years a Slave.
I was born a free man, lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped, sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon North. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
And clip there from 12 Years a Slave as we talk with Rob Thomas about the best films of 2013, possible Oscar contenders among them. And we want to know what your vote is for best film of the year. What movie really blew you away, stayed with you, you couldn't shake it off, and you think it deserves an Oscar? You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. We'll pick up our conversation after the news. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. It's peak movie season right now, and we're talking with film critic Rob Thomas of 77 Square about some of the top contenders for Best Picture at the next Academy Awards. Also, we'll be taking a look ahead at what we can be looking forward to in 2014. And we're taking your calls now at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page or send us email to talk@WPR.org. Now, we began our conversation talking about Rob's top 10 list, and the first one we discussed was Gravity. Let's take a listen to that one.
Explorer's been hit. Explorer, do you read? Explorer, over. Explorer. Astronaut is off structure.
What do I do?
Dr. Stone is off structure.
What do I do?
Don't detach.
A clip from Gravity. I don't know if I'd live through that one.
I don't. We're just talking. It's like 90 minutes of Sandra Bullock screaming half-heartedly, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones now. Deborah joins us in Milwaukee. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Last week, we went to the cinema in Mequon and wanted to see American Hustle. And they have now screens where they show you what seating's available and you can pick your seats. And that's a little frustrating, but it shows you there weren't enough seats left, any good seats left for American Hustle. There was like 8 left. And so we went to see The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which I wanted to see, as opposed to what my two friends wanted to see. So I really enjoyed it. And one of my prerequisites for going to a movie is not knowing anything about it. And then the element of surprise is like an added bonus. And I was really surprised afterwards that most everybody sat through the credits, which I have never seen in Milwaukee, but in New York City it's common. And then someone clapped when the movie was over, and so I clapped too, and I was so happy that somebody else enjoyed it enough to to applaud.
Yeah, it's always fun when people clap at the end of movies. It doesn't happen often. So Secret Life of Walter Mitty, have you seen that one yet?
I haven't. No, it's one I definitely want to see with Ben Stiller. And I hear it's a really – I read the short story like in high school about the daydreaming guy. And it's one I really want to see. It looks really visually stunning. I think he filmed it on like Greenland and all over the world. So, I totally agree. That's one thing I like about film festivals. People are more disposed to applaud at the end of movies there. I don't know why, but yeah.
Well, thanks for telling us about that one, Deborah. That one's been out recently, so that's something people can try to catch. And let's go next to Jesus in Whitewater. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well. I just want to let you guys know, have you seen Out of the Furnace, Christian Bale, and Woody Harrelson?
Out of the Furnace.
I missed that one, and it went in and out of theaters pretty quick. And I really liked the filmmaker's last film, which was Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges. But I missed that one. How was it?
Oh, it was wonderful. Woody Harrelson is acting as Harlan DeGroote was phenomenal. I mean, he's eerie character, and I think he should be up for an Oscar for that performance.
All right. Well, thank you so much for telling us about that one, Jesus. And can we talk a second about Woody Harrelson? Because I never know if I should completely dismiss him as an actor or think he's incredible. What do you think about Woody?
I think he's kind of great. Yeah, I think he could have turned into kind of this goofball, but every once in a while he turns in this great performance. I mean, I think he's great, honestly, in the
Hunger Games.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good in Hunger Games.
That's a perfect role for him. Because he can be very funny, but also very serious. I think he's the villain in Out of the Furnace, like a meth king or something like that. And I think he has a new show on HBO, too. And, yeah, he's just one of those actors that's like, well, he's going to be interesting. Whatever happens, whether he's a goofball or like a serial killer, he's going to be interesting.
So we shouldn't dismiss him. We should look forward to his stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, thank you for that call, Jesus. And on to Alice in Sheboygan. Hey, Alice.
Hello. I would like to bring up Philomena with Judi Dench. I saw it last night, and it's everything I love in a movie. I just had told the person who answered the phone that her jump from a strong woman in Skyfall to this real person who had been damaged from an incident in the 1950s in a convent in Ireland was beautiful. She's a method actress. She was just wonderful.
Yeah, Judi Dench, I love her too. Yeah. She's like Maggie Smith to me. I think those venerable old English actresses are wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And great to watch in anything. I think she's probably the front runner for best actress.
Really?
I think so. Maybe her and Cate Blanchett from Blue Jasmine are probably the two who are probably most likely to win that. And I haven't seen Philomena yet, but I hear it's really great.
Excellent. Well, thank you for bringing that one up. Now, you mentioned Inside Llewellyn, is it Davis?
Right, Llewyn Davis.
Inside Llewyn Davis. And this is about a folk singer, a week in the life of a folk singer in New York. Is that right?
Right?
Coen Brothers film.
Yeah, it's their new one. It's set in like 1960, 1961. So this is like Greenwich Village when, you know, Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, that sort of thing. And this guy is like several tiers below them, just trying to eke out an existence. It's a really interesting movie for them. It's sort of funny in kind of a quiet way. It has fantastic music, especially if you like folk music, and has a lot of Coen Brothers regulars like John Goodman make cameos and stuff. So that's one, like I said, I think it's in Milwaukee now and will be in Madison and wider next week.
And we've got a clip of it. Let's listen.
If I had wings, I'd know where's dove.
What'd you say you played?
Folk songs.
Folk songs. Solo act?
No, I had a partner.
Threw himself off the George Washington Bridge.
George Washington Bridge? You throw yourself off the Brooklyn Bridge, traditionally. George Washington Bridge. Who does that?
Well,
I had a man.
I love it already.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah.
And are you a Coen Brothers fan in
general? I am. I think there's probably one or two that of all their movies I'd say I didn't like, but yeah.
It's one of their better ones.
Maybe. I think so, yeah. It's really, I mean, you really feel like you're, I'm talking about immersive, but you really feel like you're back in 1960 in New York in that whole environment. And yeah, it's really good.
What do you think about how they use music in their films? Usually it's front and center.
Yeah. And this is one, I think Marcus Mumford from Mumford and Sons helped write the songs and kind of curate the soundtrack. And it's a mix of originals and sort of classic ones. And it's really, you know, an extension of character. I think Oh Brother, We're Out There was the other one I sort of would compare it to, where like the music is like almost like another character in the movie.
Now, I understand that you are also a big fan of the new Disney film Frozen.
Yes.
Would you sing some for us?
Yeah, I can do Let It Go. Hold on. Yeah.
I could too. We'll do a duet.
Yeah, absolutely.
My family's obsessed with this movie right now.
I thought it was the best animated movie of the year. I mean, I took my daughters to it and we were just loving it from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. It was like kind of a princess movie, kind of a Disney princess movie, but then it starts playing with
mm-hmm.
sort of the conventions of what you think
in
a really interesting and satisfying way. And of course, the snowman is just fantastic.
Yeah. Have you heard of that guy before? Josh Gad?
Yeah. He was in, he was in the Book of Mormon on Broadway. That's sort of his big claim to fame. He's been in a few movies and a couple of TV shows, but this was one where like, like his voice just perfectly matched yeah. that snowman. I mean, he was just so cheerful and mm-hmm. fun and
naive.
Yeah.
Yeah. People said about Frozen that it was sort of Disney reclaiming their throne and their legacy. Do you see it that way?
I mean, somewhat. Yeah. I mean, because Pixar's kind of ruled the roost for a few years. And I would say between this and also Tangled from a couple years ago, which mm-hmm. is kind of the same thing where it kind of plays with a fairy tale, but in an interesting way, they're finding ways to go like, okay, this is what we do. But here's a way we can do it that's a little fresher and, you know, a little more empowering to women and girls and stuff like that. So, yeah, I thought it was great.
And the music is so good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So before I let you go, 2014 is here. So the Oscar contenders are behind us. But what's ahead of us? What do we have to look forward to?
Well, January is usually kind of slow for movies. There's like a movie with a hunky Frankenstein coming, which I wouldn't recommend. But after that, the one I'm looking forward to in February is called The Monuments Men.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an art history Dirty Dozen with George Clooney and Matt Damon and Bill Murray and John Goodman playing like art historians in World War II trying to save priceless paintings and sculptures from the Nazis, which is a really interesting idea based on a true story. George Clooney directs. There's a new Wes Anderson movie coming in March called The Grand Budapest Hotel with Ralph Fiennes. It looks really good.
Now, was he Moonrise Kingdom?
Yes.
Was that,
that his?
Okay, so he does sort of the quirky offbeat.
Yeah, and this one is just as quirky and offbeat. I mean, if people don't like that, they're not going to like it. But if you love that stuff, it's going to be just right up your alley.
And what is that one called?
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Excellent.
Sometime in March.
And there's a Spider-Man coming up. Did I hear that?
That's right. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So there are three Spider-Mans, and now we're on a reboot with these Amazing Spider-Mans, directed by Mark Webb, who's from Madison. Yeah, yeah. And it comes out, he was a West High grad, and now he's a big blockbuster director. And that comes out May 2nd, which is officially the start of the summer movie season. So
really? Okay.
Summer movies are only 4 months away. So that's maybe the best news of
it really
movies.
Is. Yeah. I got to say, as I look out at a cold, dark, snowy Wisconsin, thinking about May 2nd sounds pretty good.
Start of summer. I'll take it. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
We've been talking to Rob Thomas, and he is the editor of 77 Square, the arts and entertainment publication of the Capital Times.